But when God took Moses off the scene, he had a Joshua. And God did not want Joshua to be Moses. He wanted Joshua to be Joshua. I think we can glean from others. We can be helped by others. But we need to be reminded of the fact that God wants us to be like Him. There was a prophet named Elijah. And God used Elijah mightily. But God took Elijah home. And he had an Elisha. And Elisha, God wrought more miracles, twice the miracles, through Elisha than he did Elijah. But both of them were important. Hello. The majority of my preaching, are you listening? I preach somewhere most every week. Majority of my preaching is in churches smaller than this church. Now, I want to be careful what I say, but I want to say it. I believe if a person is pastoring or ministering in a particular geographic area, they're in the will of God, doing what he can for God. God will reward him just like he rewards a man running 500. Everybody all right? I'm thankful for the fellow that stayed by this stuff that's not running 50. And I don't want to look down on him. I want to encourage him. And so if I can do something, if one person gets encouraged, that's what God wants me to do. Amen. The Apostle Paul had something to say about those who compared themselves among themselves, and measured themselves among themselves. And he said, if I remember right, he said, you're not wise. Hello? Everybody's still all right. I'm going to preach tonight from the book of Hebrews chapter 4. But while you're turning there, I want to reference a passage in the book of John chapter 12. The Bible said in verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And that's what the preaching's been about, and I've been encouraged, I've been challenged, and I'm thankful for it. But the Lord's given me this assignment tonight, and I've learned a long time ago, and when you get to this place, there's so many different messages I'd like to preach. But I learned that it was profitable for me to follow the leadership of the Lord. So in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, if you could and would, I'd ask you to stand, and I'll read just a few verses. And I begin my reading in verse number 14. The Bible said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to preach on our sympathetic high priest, our sympathetic high priest. Lord Jesus, thank you for the good preaching that's challenged our heart, that's corrected us, that has turned us. And I pray, blessed Holy Spirit, that you might take the things of Christ and reveal them to us tonight. I ask that you would bind Satan and his adversaries, and may this be profitable time. We thank you, Lord, for this good church, for its pastor, for the great choir and all the special singing. Thank you for the provisions that's been made for us since we've been here. And I too pray that you would bless and encourage your people tonight. Bless those families that are in sorrow because of the passing of a loved one. I pray that you'd undergird them and give special grace in this time of need. Bless our preacher brethren that are preaching the word of God in other places. Accomplish your purpose, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray, amen and amen. You may take your seats. In this portion that I've read tonight is an epistle written to Hebrew believers that had converted from Judaism to Christianity, who were passing through a time of trial and testing as far as their faith was concerned. I want to say to you tonight, if you are saved by the grace of God, your faith also is going to be tested. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, verse 31, the Lord Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Aren't you glad that we have a great high priest that prays for us? Amen. I'm thankful that he intercedes for us. Now, the writer draws our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, who has a sympathetic heart, who is well able to strengthen and to succor and to sustain them despite of the opposition and despite of the oppression. Now, I'm reading, I see this, he's presented in verse 14 through 16, and first of all, let me say this. He said, verse 14, seeing then we have, it is an irrefutable fact that we have a great high priest. I'm grateful that Jesus left the portals of glory, and when he left the portals of glory, he had his face toward Calvary. He set his face like a flint to go to Calvary. That was his mission. He came that he might go to an old rugged cross and die in your place and suffer your hell and my hell, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm saying to you, when he left the portals of glory, he brought grace with him. And as he ministered to people along the way, he extended grace and mercy. And on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he's extending grace. And he died upon that cross, buried in a borrowed tomb. But the third day, he got back up and ascended to heaven. And as he ascended to heaven, he said to those standing by, "There's more grace on the way." Praise God. I'm grateful that there's grace sufficient for our every need. Now, I want to say it's an irrefutable fact we have a great high priest. He didn't say we're going to have, we did have, but he said we have presently tonight. We have a great high priest. I'm glad that he's my great high priest, and he's a sympathetic high priest. Now, notice the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and let's look at verse 11 and verse number 12. And the Bible said in verse number 11, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God." Praise God, Jesus paid it all. It wasn't a down payment, it was a full payment. Amen. And the scripture said, "For by one offering he's perfected forever them that are sanctified." Amen. Chapter 1 of Hebrews, notice with me verse 3, the Bible said, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." He did it by himself. He did it freely. He did it willingly. I'm saying, thank God we have a great high priest. That's an irrefutable fact. The purifications for sin is the work of Christ. He's a great high priest. By the way, having dealt with the question of human sin and all the terrifying totality, once and for all, upon the cross, by his voluntary, vicarious, and victorious work, he sat down on the right hand of his majesty on high. Chapter 2. Notice chapter 2 in verse number 17. The Bible said, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now you understand, to make propitiation for sins, people are reconciled, not sin. Sin has to be judged. And so I see, and God's holiness is satisfied, and there's a solid foundation for this was laid by his work on Calvary when he died. And by the way, it was a righteous God who pardoned, propitiated the man, and so man could be reconciled to God. Thank God, have been set free by the grace of God. Amen. And the scripture said, if the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. Amen. Could I say a great high priest who can be merciful? Seeing then we have a great high priest who's merciful, he's compassionate and understanding to man in making propitiation for man's sin, and faithful, true to every respect to God in satisfying all the requirements of a holy and just and righteous God. Chapter 3, notice with me verse 1 and 2. The Bible said, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Could I say this? In light of the scriptures, we have a great high priest. That's not something that was thought up in Rome. I'll tell you, bless God, I have a book that tells me that I have presently a great high priest. And by the way, could I say, I'm reminded of the irrefutable fact we have a great high priest. But number two, could I say, I see the incomparability of our great high priest. There's none like him. I read in my Bible, if you'll let me just reference the verses, in chapter 1, verse 1, he's greater than the prophets. In chapter 1, verse 4 through 14, he's greater than the angels. In chapter 4, verse 6 through 11, he's greater than Joshua. In chapter 5, in verse 3 through 10, he's greater than Aaron. And in Matthew 12, verse 6, he's greater than the temple. And again, in Matthew 12, verse 41, he's greater than Jonah. In the book of Matthew 12, verse 42, he's greater than Solomon. In the book of Luke, chapter 7, and verse number 28, he's greater than John the Baptist. I'm talking about our great high priest that's seated at the right hand of the throne of God tonight. They're making intercession for you. The woman at Sychar's well said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" And the answer is, oh yes, he's greater than our father Jacob. The Jews asked the Lord, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham?" And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Praise God for who he is. He's my great high priest. He was uncreated, the underived, self-existent, self-determining, self-sustaining, eternal God. And Christ, our great priest, is incomparable in his greatness and incomparable in his glory. Irrefutable fact, we have a great high priest. The incomparability of our great high priest. But notice with me, thirdly, the identity of our great high priest. Notice with me, if you please, as we come back to our text in Hebrews chapter 4. And the Bible said, he said, "See then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Who is he? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession." Because of who he is and what he's doing, let us hold fast our profession of faith. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is a name associated with his humanity, his manhood, his messiahship, his saviorhood. He's God's appointed. He's God's anointed. He's God's approved one. He's the Christ. Amen. How could I say, the long-promised seed of the woman, the Savior of whom it was announced, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." He's a Jehovah of the Old Testament and Jesus of the New Testament, and he is our great high priest. He's the Son of God. It's a name associated with deity and eternality and equality with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm moving along a little bit faster than I thought it would, but that'd be all right too. Notice with me again, the interest. I'm interested in his interest in me, the interest of our great high priest. He said, now, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has a personal interest, a personal concern in you. Could I say tonight that one of the, but John, could I say tonight, blessed be the name of God, one of the greatest encouragements that would come to a believer's life is just to know that somebody cares. Or somebody is interested, hallelujah. He is interested in you. Could I say, 1 Peter 5:7 said we can cast our every care upon him because he cares for us. And so he's interested in my conduct. He said, humble yourself. He's interested in my conflicts. He's interested in my calling. And he's interested in my crowning. He's my great high priest. And he has personal interest in me. I do not know where you are tonight. But I do know that as a believer, we have a great high priest who's entered into the heavens. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Could I say it this? Well, he has personal concern. Our infirmities, by the way, we have them. Our infirmities speaks of our weaknesses, our failures. This tells us of the compassion and sympathy and empathy of our great high priest. I'm saying he has a deep interest in our frailties. I'm reminded he knows what it is to be touched, to be acquainted with, to be sympathetic toward, and be empathetic in all that affects you and affects me or afflicts you or I. Could I say to you, from time to time in our life, we all experience that, but we have a great high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. One who's touched, one who has fellow feelings with us and who shares the experience of his people. But then notice with me again the involvement of our great high priest. He's tested or tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That means he was tested or tempted in the same way we're tested. So how was he tempted? He was tested in body, in soul, and in spirit. In body, Matthew 4:3. In soul, Luke 4:9-11. In spirit, in Matthew 4:9. And in the midst of all our temptations, praise God, we have a great high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he's concerned. And could I say, in the midst of our temptation, I have a great high priest that is unmoved and unmovable. He's undefiled and undefilable. He's uncontaminated. In addition to being perfectly human, he knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to be thirsty. He knew what it was to have compassion. He knew what it was to weep. I'm saying he is our great high priest. And he's touched with the feelings. He's our great high priest who's involved in our lives. He's passed through the experience of human life. 100% God, 100% man. Tested in all points, like as you are, yet without sin. Notice with me again the impeccability of our great high priest. I'm grateful for who he is. I was in a certain place, in another state, preaching, and a wealthy man said to me, I really believe that Jesus could sin. I'm going to say, if you believe that, you don't have a Savior. He did not sin. He could not sin. He's God. And so, in 1 John 3:5, the Bible said, in him is no sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin. In the book of 1 Peter 2:22, he did no sin. And so I say that he's without sin, Hebrews 4:15. Notice again what he said. He said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He is he is our great high priest. 1 Peter 2:22, there's no guile found in his mouth. In Hebrews 7:26, he's holy, harmless, the Son of God. Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in this just man. Listen, Pilate's wife all said likewise the same thought. And the Roman centurion said, certainly this is the Son of God. And Christ himself said, I'm he. Amen. He's my great high priest. He's interested in me. He is a lamb without spot and without blemish. And I say this, he's a perfect and pure Son of God. He's impeccable. He could not sin. He was infallible. He did not sin. And I'm reminded again that there's no impurity and no imperfection in him. He's our great high priest. He's an impeccable great high priest. But notice with me again. Notice with me, please, twice in these verses, the two words, let us. One says, let us hold fast our profession based upon that truth. Let us hold fast our profession. And then he said, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm reminded of the intercession of our great high priest. Notice with me in the book of John, chapter 17, we refer to this passage as the intercessory prayer of our Lord. But notice what he said in verse number 9. Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Notice with me verse number 20. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He said, I'm glad I have somebody that's seated at the right hand of the throne of God that intercedes for me, that prays for me, and he never forgets my need. I don't know about you, but that encourages my heart. I'm thankful that he's a lamb without spot. He's the impeccable Son of God, but his intercession for us as a great high priest. Intercession means this, to seek the presence and hearing of God on behalf of others. Our Lord warned Peter, as I've already said in Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, but he said, I prayed for thee. And by the way, could I say tonight, do you think that he loved Peter any more than he loved you? If he prayed for Peter, I'm glad that he's praying for me. Amen. Amen. I want you to see when he is always there, our intercession without fail, despite our constant failures. He is our great high priest. But notice again with me, he said that let us, and in verse number 16, he said that let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. And the older you get, the more conscious you become of the fact of your dependence upon a holy God. Listen, we wouldn't know the way in or the way out apart from him. He knows my down, setting, my uprisings, my thoughts are far off, and he cares for me. He said, let us, that's to all believers, it's a conscious decision and determination of our entire mind, emotions, and will to do what God wants us to do. And he said, let us do what? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. That means that we're to keep on holding fast. Let us cling tenaciously to and never let slip the class of our confession of faith in Christ Jesus. I'm not ashamed that I'm a child of God. He's our great high priest. And then the second let us, he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're to come fearlessly. We can come confidently. And by the way, I like John's writings. John, in the epistle of 1 John, he uses two words, this is, again and again. He said, this is the message. This is the promise. He said, this is the victory. He said, this is he, and this is a record. But he said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, we know that we have petitions desired of him. Amen. I'm glad that he's a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Amen. I'm saying, what a privilege is our portion. The exhortation is to an unimpeded access. I'm glad that I don't have to go down to a little booth and whisper through a knothole to someone's dressed up like mama and they call him father. No, I can come boldly to the throne of grace that I might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time. What a privilege our portion is. Could I say that we may do what? Obtain. That is to receive mercy. By the way, I'm thankful for grace, but I'm likewise grateful for the mercy that God's extended to me. And the Bible said the mercies of the Lord are brand new every morning. I'm thankful. Listen, He said, I might obtain mercy. That's unfailing love. That's to cover us for the things which we should not have done. Mercy for the shortcomings. Amen. Mercy. I'm glad that God extends mercy. They're brand new. Amen. Thank God for his mercy. And then he said, and find grace. That is to abound in. That's the undeserved favor. There is grace just when and where we need it to enable us to do what we should do, but we do not have the strength to do it on our own. Grace for our present and future service. The help that is circumstances based upon the truth. Sirs, we see Jesus. We see him tonight as our great sympathetic high priest seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Old Testament priest work was never done. There's no chair in the tabernacle. But praise God, when Jesus said it's finished, it was finished. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I see this in help in time of need. It's seasonable help. It's help in the good time. It's well-timed help. It's help in the nick of time. It is God's help. And God's help is never a moment too soon and never a moment too late. I'm grateful that our God is able to do. Praise God. He's our God. He's our great high priest. And he's able to do. But he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask. More than I can ask. More than I think. But he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And he's my God. And he's your God. And I say this. Thank God for the throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. A throne of grace from the God of all grace. A throne that's characterized by grace that's undeserving and unmerited. It's divine favor, the favorable, gracious disposition of God towards sinners on account of Christ and what he did for us on Calvary. The throne of grace is always approachable. I'm glad it is. Brother Olaf said, someone asked him, said, what is the proper position to be in prayer? And he said, well, I'm not sure, but he said, some of the best praying I ever did was hanging upside down in a well. I'm grateful. Listen, it's not the position of the body, it's the position of the heart. I'm to the place to where it's a little more difficult to get down and get back up. I can get down all right, but the getting back up's a little difficult. But I'm glad that I don't have to be in a certain position for God to hear me. It's the position of my heart. But I have a great high priest. And then I notice this throne of grace. It's approachable. It's accessible. And the only acceptable means of access, can I say, is by grace. The privilege is always there. Folk ask me from time to time, said, would you pray for me? I've had folks in this meeting said, would you pray for so-and-so? And I try in my mind, I try to do it right then. Because I find this, that down the road, I forget. It's kind of slippery here sometimes. And I forget, but I'm grateful that I have a great high priest that never forgets to pray for me. So I can come boldly. There's no postponements over our petitions. And it answers a lot of questions. So where did I come? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go but unto the Lord? He's a very present help in trouble. And I say, so when do we come? We come to the throne of grace. That's where we come. And we come boldly, that's how we come. And to obtain mercy and grace, that's why we come. And when do we do it? In the time of need. I'm grateful that God has no call waiting. I'm grateful that I've not ever dialed up heaven. And got a recording said, your call is very important to me. I find some preachers use those answer machines just as screen calls. They didn't want to talk to you. And so they're not available. But I tell you, dear child of God, there's never a time that he's not willing and able to meet your needs. I'm thankful for the privilege that we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm grateful for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's promised to do. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. He is a faithful high priest. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know your need, but God does. If I knew your need, I would be limited as to what I could do. But he's not limited. He's able to prop you up on the leaning side. He's able to give you wisdom. Two good verses of scripture in the book of Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is our source. He's our source. Not your IRA. He is our source. Psalm 62 verse 5. The psalmist said, my expectation is from him. Hello? Amen. My expectation is from him. And so, this is a confidence we have in him. We ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know the opposition desired of him. I've had folks that are suffering that said to me, Brother Joe, would you just pray that God take me home? And I said, well, here's what I'll do. I'll pray for God's will to be done. God hasn't given me any liberty to pray for the Lord to take somebody home. But our times are in God's hands. Sometimes we just need to be reminded that see, then we have a great high priest.